With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Michelle Pache, filling in for Michael's wife, Jeannie. We warmly welcome you to the show today, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is Friday, September 20th. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Michael. We would love to hear from you, your comments and questions, because then that makes this your show. So now, let's welcome Michael in the process of learning forgiveness.
Hey there, young lady. Thank you for that introduction. It's a delight once again to get to share some time with each of you as we teach and learn this ancient process of forgiveness and recognize that one of the games of life is learning to be responsible, learning to change the dynamics by which we live our lives into those that are more in harmony with a true human life. And we have a simple definition for a human life. Hold a newborn child, you know exactly what human life is. And if you don't have one of those, if you're not living in touch with that, then there's a reason. And the reason is and has nothing to do with anybody around you. The reason that you're not living as this awesome active presence of love that you're designed to live as is because you've given that up. And the specialty of the world is to sneak into our minds with all the hostilities and fears that it can and put us in a posture where we feel like we have no choice but to give up that presence of love because there are so many people who make us mad, who hurt us, who cause all kinds of problems in our world. Our input to you is that if you believe that somebody else is the cause of what is happening inside of you, then you've given someone permission through your own thoughts to reach into the parts of your mind that are not reachable by the outside world. It's just not possible for hostility or fear to be caused from the outside, because hostility and fear are products of internal processes. And if you've bought into those internal processes, if you've had modeled for you from the world the insanity of hostility or fear and not known any better and just gone along with it, then what appears to be caused from without is actually caused from within. And what we're looking to do is to hand people back not so much the control, but the ability to live with a mind that really supports aliveness, joy, and creativity. And as you recognize that as a possibility, then the obligation is to step into the arena of forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is not what our culture has taught us. It has nothing to do with letting somebody else off the hook because your mind is darkened by hostility or fear, but rather forgiveness is the tool with which you reach inside your mind and remove all of the darknesses that are there. Literally, the delete key for hostility or fear is forgiveness. The world has taught us a backward process. The world has taught us to stay focused out there when the real problem is actually in here. There's an interesting statement that comes from the ancient Aramaic, or at least when you hear it in the Aramaic or the Aramaic idea, it becomes something totally different than what the Greeks have taught us. And you hear the man named Yeshua 2,000 years ago making the statement, "The eye is the lamp of the soul. If light for you is darkness, how deep will your darkness become?" And, of course, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Anybody ever pull an eye out and take a look at it and see if there's a lamp there? It doesn't look like it. And then, if the light for you is darkness, how can light be darkness? That doesn't make any sense. When you go to the Aramaic, what's being said there is the output of your mind, which incidentally is minuscule compared to what's going on in the world. There's some interesting Harvard research that says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, the max amount of data that goes into your reality, into your mind's perceptual output and your guidance system, is 9 bits of data. So what it's saying is that that perception, the Greeks translated as the eye, in Aramaic it says perception is the light for your earthly life. It's the light of the soul. It's the light to guide you through your experience in life. And then it says, if the light for you, that is the guide that you use, is darkness, hostility or fear, how deep will your darkness become? You know, Jeannie, when we open the Why Is This Happening To Me Again workshop, asked two questions. The first one is, how many have ever held a newborn? And then she asked people to describe the newborn child. And everybody's descriptor is always some variation on the theme of love. Why? Because everybody knows what human life is. And then she asks a really important second question, and that is, how many have ever done something you regret? And then she follows that with, go back to a time when you did something that today you say, oh, I really regret that I did that, and identify what you were feeling that motivated you to do that which you today regret. And put a word to that feeling, and the word is always some form of hostility or fear. Why? Because regret is what Yeshua is referring to as how deeply your darkness becomes. What kind of crazy things will you do to create trauma and drama and problems in your life? So the perceptual output of the mind is meant to be plugged into not darkness, which in Aramaic is hostility or fear, but rather is designed to be plugged into light, which is human life, aliveness, the presence of love. If the device is not plugged into its proper power supply, then disconnected, it leads us to all sorts of crazy and insane things. And so what we're here to do is to support, of course, ourselves to learn and to support every mind, heart, and being on the planet being restored to that light, forgiving, removing the darkness. All darkness that enters the human mind is internal. Yes, it is triggered into activity by the world, but it can only be triggered into activity if it is there. And if it's there and you apply the tool of forgiveness, you'll soon be living without it. Now, if you'd like to access that tool of forgiveness, we invite you to go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner, you see a link that says Start Here. If you click that link will take you to a whole list. It'll give you an explanation of where to start with the forgiveness process, the actual worksheet itself. There are half a dozen radio shows where you can walk yourself through a whole set of instructions for how to do the forgiveness process. So that's what we're here to present. And then, of course, there are a whole series of corollary tools and workshops that we do, healing through relationships, communication. Did you hear what I think I said? Purpose, personal power, and commitment, empowered to heal, codependence to interdependence. So we've got a whole series of things, and each one gives a different tool, a different how-to heal your human mind, restore your human mind to its humanness, and bring that presence of love into the world. So that's what we're here to do. We're delighted to have the opportunity to share with you. We would love to hear your questions, your comments. If you engage in the use of any of the tools and have any questions for us, we're delighted to have the opportunity to answer those questions and bring more light into understanding how to use the ancient Aramaic technology, especially of forgiveness. And so we're delighted that you're with us. And Michelle, do we have anything happening in the chat room with in the way of questions or anything we should be aware of, or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up?
Quiet on all fronts at this point.
Okay, well, let me just say, if you see a 312 come in, area code come in, it'll probably be Ari. I talked to Ari this morning, and Ari went through his surgery with flying colors. He has some interesting stories to tell us. He said he'd probably call in today, or he was still feeling a little punk. They were originally going to do this surgery on his shoulder with just a local anesthetic, but they ended up doing a general once he got in there. And so he's still feeling a little punk, but it was interesting. He was sharing that they wanted to keep him overnight because his oxygen levels were so low. So he just said to himself, well, I know how to do something about that. I have a solution. I know how to breathe. And he stepped into a kind of a modified cycle of still point breathing. And an hour later, they let him go. So he was quite delighted that he understood how the breath worked, and from the surgery, his oxygen levels were a little low, but he was quite excited about that piece of the puzzle. And so he may show up today. Depends how he's feeling. Otherwise, we'll probably hear from him on Monday.
No, I will keep my eyes out for that Chicago area code, and I would love to say hi to him and well wishes for mending himself. There's nobody with a hand up, but there is an area code I recognize, and I don't know that I can say the person's name, but let's just say this was a first-time caller this week who was from Missouri, kind of excited about talking to you because they had read the book and you coached them through. So I noticed they're back again today, and so I just want to acknowledge that because sounds like they're in the game.
Cool. Well, it's always awesome when one more person enters the game. And, you know, in the ancient Aramaic, which is really a physics language, they had a statement where they said, a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. And, of course, I don't think they were talking about bread. It was really a statement about critical mass and physics. And what we know from a physics perspective is that you can have a substance that has certain properties and acts in a certain way. And if you add a second substance to it in the right quantity, all of a sudden the original substance totally changes its nature and character. But it doesn't change in graduations, but rather there comes an instant where a certain level of concentration is reached with the new substance. And all of a sudden, there's a total transformation. And that point is called critical mass. And so when Yeshua was talking about a little leavening leavens the whole loaf, he was talking about critical mass, and that if we could just get this planet to the point where we had enough people, and so it's delightful when one more person enters the fray, if we could get enough people who actually functioned as the awesome presence of love that we're designed to function as. I mean, really, truly functioned, then we'd have something pretty amazing happening. There was an interesting thing that happened a couple of years ago. Well, several years ago now, I guess. There were two gentlemen who created a thing called the Civility Project. And these two gentlemen, in creating the Civility Project, created a statement, basically a rather simple thing of, you know, we're going to invite people to function in a civil manner in their public interactions with people. And they went to Congress, and they went to the 50 governors of the 50 states and invited them, kind of lobbied them to make a commitment to be civil. And after 2 years of doing this lobbying, they had three politicians, three people in the feudal system and within the states, three people who were willing to proclaim, I will function as a human being. Pretty strange. I wonder what it would be like if we could get a critical mass in Congress. What would the country's future look like if instead of the squabbling, the hostility and fear, we had a critical mass of people who functioned lovingly, spoke words that came from their human beingness about themselves and about each other? How different could the game be? What if you were required to have a human life before you could enter politics? Wouldn't that make things interesting on the planet? So our invitation is for everyone who chooses to engage, that you can, day by day, with the consistent and persistent use of forgiveness, literally remove from your experience hostility and fear. And as you do, the words you use will change. The thoughts you think will change. The cells that produce the words and the thoughts will change. The state of your health and well-being, your creativity will change. It's all within your own power. Sadly, the tools have been known for thousands of years and hidden away. Of course, the sad part being that they've been hidden away. 2,000 years ago, the man named Yeshua taught people how to forgive. Not how to let other people off the hook for what was happening inside of them, but how to go inside themselves to change the content of their own minds. You go back in that statement of, you know, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, is precisely what it's all about. And yet there are those who, rather than you having to step in and do your work, want to create an easy theology of belief, and you don't have to do anything. In fact, the message is oftentimes you're not capable of doing anything because you're hopeless, you're helpless, and, you know, it's just you're lost. And the truth is that we are the offspring of this absolutely awesome creator called love, and we're designed to function as the offspring. We're designed to function as love. And so the restoration to that is what we're really here to support. Is Dr. Tim with us today by chance?
No, Dr. Tim, I thought he said yesterday that he wasn't going to be here today.
That's right.
So interestingly enough, I was hesitant to identify someone by name, but I guess when they put their hand up, I can let you know that Raymond, who was the gentleman who called earlier, would like to say hi to you.
Cool. Awesome.
Raymond, I just put you on the air. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Welcome, sir. Glad to hear your voice.
I was just doing one of these worksheets, and it's like this huge insight hit me. Well, a lot of things I've been wanting to talk to you about, but I'll just talk about this one thing. It's like, I don't know if it makes sense, but I feel like my whole life has been like one big lie. You talk about this power person, you know, and project. I read somewhere
right
about projecting like this one power person on everybody. Something I read from,
yes,
Dr. Tim's like blog or something.
Yes.
And it's like my whole life I've been projecting this fear and hostility, like you talk about, and just this rage, like, onto this person before I even meet them. And then I react to that, and I just have to, it's like I automatically cower or just tell you exactly what you want to hear and then escape, you know. I think I have to escape because it's like that's my reaction right off the bat. And it's like,
that's
just
your power person dynamic.
Yep.
What a great thing to change.
he was always in my face raging, you know, like my dad. It's almost like I feel him, like every cell of my body feels him raging still. Like, I mean, it's like you deny that part of yourself, or you deny those. It's almost like he had talked, or Dr. Tim had did a link to this one person that heard voices. And when I listened to that link, it's like I didn't actually thought I heard voices, but there's voices. My thoughts, I thought they were just my thoughts, but they're like his voices inside my head that are just raging, you know, at me that I just thought were my thoughts.
Well, and that's the energetic dynamic of the power person. We usually, though not always, a power person will be a parent, and all of their raging, if our power person is a rager, all of their raging from all of their lives up to the moment of conception, of our conception, we received genetically the energetic pattern of that rage. And then when we were exposed to their rage in the external world, that energetic pattern is simply reinforced, until it seems to become our own. And yet, the truth is, it's a foreign energy that has nothing to do with who we are. But if we never wake up, you know, when we're lulled into believing that voice in our heads is our own, then we're asleep in the past generations. We're asleep in the dynamics of that rage. When I start to wake up, when I start to suspect, maybe something else is going on here, I have an awakening, or actually in some circles it's been called a rebirth. I start to wake up to who I really am, and that I am not these voices in my head. I am not these energetic patterns of the generations, but rather I am the truth of my being, this awesome presence of love. And there are tools to strengthen me as that presence of love and weaken these other frequencies. Is it going to take time? Yes. You know, I can guarantee that the power person that you're talking about didn't just all of a sudden wake up one day at 2 years of age or 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 and say, oh, I think I'll rage for the rest of my life. They too were subject to a power person who raged, who was subject to a power person who raged, who was subject to. This has been going on for generations. And this is, you know, if you go back to the story of the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years, you know, it's got to be pretty tough to get lost in a 30-square-mile area for 40 years. That's got to be quite a feat. And maybe they weren't talking about a hot, sandy place, but rather what they were talking about was our own unconscious dynamics. And what they said, in order to get free of the desert, and you sound like you're getting some insight into your own desert and starting to free yourself from it rather than wandering unconsciously in it, thinking it's your own, that as you let loose of or forgive that internal energetic pattern, then the old generations disappear. And, you know, if you read that scriptural passage about the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years, the solution was the old generation had to die off. And that word generation is genari. It means cause. It does not mean everybody in old physical bodies had to physically die, but rather the energetic dynamic within the cell that screams out from every cell simply because it's there has to go. And it takes commitment to work through and let loose of those generational patterns. So I acknowledge you for the insight of being able to see it in yourself and to wake up from it and then have the courage to go for getting rid of it. That's pretty awesome.
Thanks. It's interesting you mentioned that passage, though, about the desert, because I was just at this gospel church I was visiting just to see what it was like. And they read exactly, like line for line, and believe line for line out of each, you know, that desert passage. I mean, they read the whole thing and studying each line and trying to remember that each person, they thought each person died off and only the young made it into, made it through to the promised land, or I think that's what it is.
Yes.
But it's interesting to see your version of it, or, you know, to see what it really means.
Yeah, they were trying to teach us something on a deeper level, and for someone who was just totally oblivious and unconscious, it was not an easy principle to teach or an easy principle to understand. But that, if you look at that word generation, the genari, it means cause. All of the old causes held in the cell that would tend to keep us running through those generational patterns, the hostilities, the fears, the rages, the guilts, the pain, the drama, and the trauma. As those things go, then you move out of the state of unconsciousness and pain into the desert, into the promised land, which is nothing more than experiencing your life and yourself as the active presence of love, as you were designed. What was the promise? You're made in the image and likeness of the Creator. And as one made in the image and likeness of the Creator, it's your birthright to experience, literally, you'll come to the point where you will experience coming from every cell in your structure. Instead of that voice of rage, you will experience the presence of love. You know, I've shared on a few occasions, we had a gentleman who started doing this work about, maybe 10 years ago, did several intensives, and then he came to Heartland, and he spent 2 years here. And when he first came, the first day he came, he was challenged to do one worksheet a day for 10 days. So he took that challenge, and he was challenged to read 15 minutes in the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, every day. So he did that, and then at the end of 10 days, he was challenged to do 5 worksheets a day for the next 40 days. Through 2 years of being here, he did 5 worksheets a day for 2 years. He completed his commitment here and was heading back to Asheville, North Carolina, where his family was. And he called the radio show this particular day. He was driving to Asheville, North Carolina, drove halfway, got a hotel, spent the night, called into the radio show. Now, this is a young man who started out his life with a raging father who was in and out of prison, and when he was home, he was drunk all the time and raging. This young man grew up with drugs and alcohol, got involved in the same, carried on the same thing you're talking about, the raging, and then discovered doing his work. And that day that he called the radio show, he was still at the hotel in on his journey to Asheville, and he called in and he said, Michael, I just want to share with you that for the first time in my life, and this is a guy who's been into drugs and alcohol, a very abusive father, and in prison himself, and he said, I just want to share that. I woke up this morning, and for the first time in my life, every cell in my body was in love. Every cell, he said, I could feel it physically throughout my whole form.
Whoa.
That's what's possible for us as human beings, to live there. It takes work. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes commitment. It takes support. But what an awesome gift to give yourself and to give the world, because as you do that, you become part of the leavening that leavens the whole loaf, that changes the game for everybody. So thank you and congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah.
Is there anything specific we can do to support you? Any specific questions?
Well, one of the things I run into, like doing 5 worksheets a day is like huge for me right now, because after one or two, I feel like I'm just being upset. It's like it's just in my mind making up. I know I'm being obsessive, and it's like my mind almost hurts by the time I get done just making up words. It's like I feel like I'm almost making up words in my mind, just going over and over, you know, different, I don't know, just naming every feeling I ever felt about this one thing, and
right.
I don't know,
well,
instead of really feeling it.
Right. Well, but you see, if you've lived a whole life, one of the reasons why these energetic dynamics continue generation after generation is because nobody faces them. You know, think back to your power person when they were in rage. Did you ever hear your power person say, you know, here I am raging again, And I realize that I'm raging because inside my mind I just have a whole lot of rage. And that's just the way. Did you ever hear your power person even allude to such a thought?
That would have been nice.
I guarantee you didn't. What did they say? You really look at what your mother did, look what your father, look what the government did, look what somebody else did.
Yeah.
And it was always somebody else's fault. And when you start to make the shift into putting an end to denial, remember our functional definition of denial is, I talk about somebody else as though they're the cause of what's happening inside of me. That's called denial. And you and I, and virtually everybody in this culture, were raised in total, complete denial. Everybody that we saw, whether it was a television show or read a book, a movie, a play, even professionals. I mean, I can't tell you. You walk into the Barnes & Noble or one of those big bookstores and start to go through the psychology department. Look at every book in psychology and take a look and see if you can find me a psychologist that when they're talking about one of their clients, says to their client, and Charlie, what feelings did that bring up for you? You won't find it. Every professional that you go read their book, they're going to say, or virtually every professional, you're going to hear them say, and Charlie, how did that make you feel? Like something outside of Charlie causes Charlie's feelings, and something outside of Charlie doesn't cause his feelings or yours or mine. What's inside of us causes our feelings. And when we language that something outside of us is caused, this is, to me, is such a huge and important piece of the puzzle. When we language or think of something outside as cause, that's denial. And when we deny, what happens is we cut ourselves off, literally, from the direct experience of the part of our minds that create what it is we want to put it into. So we condemn ourselves. Actually, one of the texts I work with is A Course in Miracles, and there's a great line in The Course in Miracles that says, what a petulant device you use. You take the thing you don't want to deal with, and you hide it away in the only place where you get to deal with it forever, inside yourself. So that denial leads to dissociation. So I say, you made me mad, and now I have to hide the root and the cause of my anger from myself in order to believe the lie that you made me mad. So what you're doing as you do these worksheets is you're undoing your denial and you're starting to get in touch with a whole lifetime of denial and all of the feelings you've been denied and dissociated from. And the dynamics that went along with the power person. So be patient with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Take care of yourself. You know, if you're in the middle of your muddle in one of those sessions that you do and it puts you in touch with some particularly, you know, difficult things, you know, that can be an awesome time to go and run a bathtub full of hot water and just sit and soak and breathe a little bit and let yourself be with that presence of love. One of the tools that we teach in our intensives is a work exchange. And the work, or pardon me, in the intensive is a love exchange. And the love exchange is where you sit with someone and you close your eyes, you go inside and you tap in to the deepest, clearest presence of love that you can. And then, having feeling that inside of yourself, you intensify it. You fill your body with it. And then you open your eyes and imagine projecting that energy out from your eyes to the person you're looking at. And as you intensify that active presence of love, as you make that the topic of your conversation, the presence of love rather than all the reasons for hostility or fear, then your mind will begin to shift from the desert to the promised land, and you'll get to the point where you will naturally live in the promised land because that's what your true nature is designed to do.
You know, I had that experience once. I didn't know what it was. I just thought I felt, it was like I was in these 12-step groups like 8 years ago or 10 years ago. And that
right.
second that second step is getting to know, like, who your higher power is. So I was writing every day, trying to figure out who my higher power is. And all of a sudden, it's like just this huge, I mean, every single cell of my body felt happy. And I was just exhilarated that I felt like I felt God right then. And I was, like, calling everybody, telling them, I know I found God. I found God. And going to work and still happy. I mean, it lasted, like, 2 or 3 days. You know, it's like just talking about it and, you know, and just oblivious to what people were thinking about me even, you know, as I was talking. It was, like, huge.
Yep.
But it just
it's called plugged into your source. And that's where you're designed to live.
Yeah.
And notice it lasted 2 or 3 days until somebody gave you the look or somebody did a behavior that resonated something else.
It just kind of went away. Yeah.
Well, it actually didn't go away. You lost awareness of it. It's still there, loud and clear. In the ancient teachings, however, it was called the still small voice. So that still small voice that brings forward literally the actual cellular experience of the presence of love is there 24/7, 365. It's just that we have a love of other voices.
Yeah.
We block that voice out with our hostility and fear voices because that's what our generations have done. That's the habit we've grown into. And as you continue to do your work, you'll come to the point where you will reliably live in that presence of love for the rest of eternity.
I almost feel like I don't have anything to talk about with people now because it's like I don't want to lie to them anymore like my old self or just project all this, you know, like I want to please them or something. And I just kind of sit there. Like, because I don't have a lot going on in my life right now, so it's like I don't have anything to talk about if I'm not trying to think of what they want to hear.
I hear you. There's actually Jeannie and I started to watch a movie. That's kind of our way of taking some playtime. But we started to watch a movie last night called Network, and this guy is a big time, you know, news anchor person, and through a series of events, he pretty much loses everything, and then he gets fired, and he gets on the air, and he just, you know, he's primetime news, and he goes into this rant, and his rant is all about how this is all BS. He said, you know, last night, after I found out I'd been fired, I got on this radio show or this television show, and I told you all that next Tuesday I was going to commit suicide on the air. You know, kind of like I want to go out with the bang with high ratings. And then, you know, of course he's been drinking. So when he comes down from his drunk and his boss is pretty peeved with him and has taken him off the air, he kind of recants. He says, you know, I apologize. I've been on the air for 25 years. Don't let me go out like this. Let me at least get on and make a statement of apology to people. And so they let him do that. And then he starts into why he did it. And he said, it's all BS. He said, I just ran out of BS. He said, what everybody's doing is just a whole crock of BS. And he just goes on. He rants again for about 5 minutes on this national newscast. But it's pretty interesting. There's not a whole lot to say unless you want to play the game of hostility and fear in the world. It's true.
Yeah.
There's not much room for it. So I certainly hear that one loud and clear. But here's what will happen. You know, you run with the crowd that you resonate with. As you begin to change your resonance, you'll attract a new crowd. You'll create for yourself a new support system of people who do want to live as the gentle, awesome presence of love that they are. People who do want to create caring and support and nurturing for each other. And you'll create that kind of community around you. One of the things we suggest that you do as someone new to this work is start a support group. Start working with people. You know, we've got videos, and most of the support groups, you know, will meet once a week in an evening, and they'll play 1 hour of one of the workshop videos, do some discussion of it, and then they'll do worksheets together. And you'll find that as you cultivate some people around you who are aware of the tools, you will create a community that is just awesome. And it's interesting, if you go back to the Aramaic idea where they talked about the kingdom of heaven, in Aramaic what that says is not the kingdom of heaven, but it is the community of love. For us to start to really, truly create communities of love, people who are interested in nurturing and caring for each other, as opposed to living in their rage, their separation, their guilt, their grief, and their pain. So I invite you to consider doing that, and if you look on the website, whyagain.org, you'll see under support groups, there's a whole section, and that section.
Dr. Tim, I'm about, his is about the closest to me in Illinois there, and it's about 5 hours by car, but I'm in a really bad state right now. I don't have money or a car, or I thought about walking there and starting a whole new life there.
That's a long walk.
Yep.
But gather a couple of friends and start to, you know, you can download the archives. We've got hundreds and hundreds of hours of radio show. You can download the archives free on the website and start listening to them. You know, gather one or two people who are willing to really create support for the healing process. And it's pretty awesome when we see what happens out of those groups of people.
Okay.
I think what do you do in the world?
What's that?
What do you do in the world?
What do I do? I do nothing right now. For 8.5 years, I've been doing nothing. I used to do networking.
Okay.
I've been, like at my previous call, it's been a pretty rough time. I'm just trying to get out of it. So... But yeah, the
okay.
last 8 years have been kind of like raging against myself.
Well, I'm just delighted for you that you're seeing through the rage conversation and that you're willing to have a gentle, respectful, nurturing conversation with yourself. One of the things on the website is a thing called My Commitment. And it's the specific one I'm thinking of is My Commitment to Myself. You might want to download that, put it on your mirror, put it on your refrigerator, and start to speak it to yourself every day. I promise to trust myself enough to be willing to listen to and hear the truth and treat myself lovingly, gently, and with respect. There's a whole statement to start to use with yourself to support you in moving forward. And we're just delighted to be here to support you and be on the team. And, you know, for one more person to let go of that raging voice is a powerful, powerful thing. And, you know, another great line in the Course in Miracles says, millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you do. So thank you for the work you're doing in facing that.
Well, thanks for being there to talk to you.
All right, lots of love and blessings. Take care. Appreciate the call.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. I love it. I love it. It's awesome.
No, I really admire Raymond's courage and his interest and enthusiasm about the process. It's kind of exciting. He's just, you know, really getting into it.
It is exciting for sure.
There are, I noticed Ari showed up, so he doesn't have a hand up, but I wanted to acknowledge him and say, hey, Ari, thanks for being here today. And, Michael, there's several people with their hand up. We've got about 15 minutes left, so...
let's go for it.
Your call. All right. 815, you are able to talk to Michael.
Hey, Michael, this is Robert. How are you?
Hey, I'm very well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. I wanted to follow up with you from the other day. I was one of your the individuals. I'm from Woodstock, and I go to Dr. Tim's group there, and I called in the
right.
other day, and you're giving me some
sure.
guidance on something that I should do and what I should begin to do. And
purpose.
So as soon as I – yeah, exactly. So I found your worksheet, and I went through the different Section 1 and Section 2, and you know, went through my list of 10 things in each one of those. And I just wanted to share with you Section 3 and my secondary purpose. Basically,
please, go for it.
All right, good. My vision of a perfect world. Everyone would work together for a greater good of our spiritual being, that everyone would let go of all the emotional connections and would focus on love. As a society, this has to happen now rather than later if we are going to survive. And with that, my secondary
purpose... You got my agreement on that one.
Good. Secondary purpose is I now use my, this is my list, love for everyone and everything, drive to change the world, and passion for life to learn more about love every day, help others as much as I can, and grow in my spirituality every day. Create a world where everyone would work together for the greater good of our spiritual being, that everyone would let go of all emotional connections and would focus on love. Now, make your choice. Decisions and behaviors are on purpose.
Awesome. Well, does that give you some clarity on where to go from here?
It does, and as I was doing some research and trying to better understand change in society, I ran across an interesting quote from an unknown monk from 1100 AD. It's called Change in the World, and this really, I think, pinpoints exactly what you were saying about focusing on myself first in order to change the world, and it kind of goes like
right.
this. When I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I found it was difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my nation. When I found I couldn't change the nation, I began to focus on the town. I couldn't change the town, and as an older man, I tried to change my family. Now, as an older man, I realize the only thing I can change is myself. And I should have. I realized that if long ago I had changed myself, I would have changed an impact on my family. My family and I would have made an impact on our town. Their impact would have changed the nation, and I could have indeed have changed the world.
Wow, that's cool. Right on track.
It really is, and it does start with ourselves. You can't get other people to change unless you change yourself and you show them through what you're doing that, you know, it can be done. You can
That's
talk
it.
About as much as you want, you know, and if you can't talk, you know, you can talk the talk, but it's a different story when you start walking the walk.
Yes, for sure. Well, that's awesome. Congratulations. So we'll, any way we can support you as you move forward and begin to teach, did you download the worksheet for your daughter?
I did, actually. I've got numerous ones of those. I also downloaded plenty of the other ones so I could start working on it for myself. I saw the Building Brain Cells challenge that she had on there, and it
right.
actually goes with what you were talking about, the individual who, which I'm guessing was Dale Allen Hoffman. Am I wrong?
Which
spent 2 years with you?
No, that had been David Hayes that was doing the Building the Brain Cells, and he's not at Heartland any longer.
Oh, okay. Well, you were mentioning someone that was with you for 2 years, and I thought that he was. I thought she was from Asheville, North Carolina, but the Building the Brain Cells exactly.
Oh, actually, that was not Dale. That was not Dale that I was talking about earlier. Dale is also from Asheville. This gentleman is in Asheville now. But, no, that wasn't Dale I was referring to earlier in the show.
Okay. Well, either way, the Building the Brain Cells is actually a really good PowerPoint, and it does exactly what you said. You know, do a worksheet a day for 5 days and then 10 five for 40 days. So my next step then is to challenge myself to do that. And then build upon that, I would think that would be the next direction, right?
Well, you have our support. Absolutely. You're right on track.
Okay. Good deal.
That's where to take
well,
it.
We'll definitely do that. one last question here, and I ran across some stuff on the web, and, you know, who knows how much stuff is true, but what is your interpretation of channeling? spirits and help and the information people gather from that?
Well, you know, if you listen to Einstein, Einstein says this: if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. In other words, there's only one of us. We're all connected. And I think when we take responsibility for ourselves, then we don't have to be, you know, channeling somebody else. We can simply speak as the true human being that we are. And as we do that and bring forward that humanness, that's the most powerful thing, gift we can give the world.
Okay. Wow. Excellent.
All right. Well, all right, sir. Well, thank you for your call. And along the journey, any support we can be, we're here 5 days a week and delighted.
Thank you.
All right. Blessings. Lots of love. Bye-bye. Well, Michelle, we're down to about 7 minutes or so. Do you have another caller for us? Is your mute button on, Michelle? Hello?
Sorry,
Michelle,
Michael.
I've lost you. Oh, there you are.
No, I'm here. I was apologizing for prematurely muting Robert, and then I did it to myself. But, you know, 970 has been waiting here so patiently. It looks like 48 minutes. So I'd like to give them an opportunity to say hi today.
Well, let's see if this is Carrie.
It is.
Hey there, young lady. Hi. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours, too. Hey, really quick question. I would like you to enlarge on Shebag a little bit, if you would be so kind.
I would be absolutely delighted to. And how is hanging out in the woods in Michigan working? How's the writing going?
It's awesome. And by the lake, it's beautiful. It's empowering. The book is probably about a week and a half from press. I just work hours every day, and I'm so excited about it. It really is about restoring our true design love and everything it takes in the life to accomplish that, including these tools and lifestyle. So really excited about it. It's very powerful, very powerful.
Very cool. Well, we're heading to Europe on Tuesday.
21st century superhuman.
Right. We're heading for Europe on Tuesday. I wish I had some copies to take with me, but
boy,
we'll have to
wait. Boy, I wish you did, too. Well, if you guys are still over there, you know, I think once it's up, aren't you going to be over there a couple weeks?
We're actually going to be there about 5 weeks, four and a half
weeks. Yeah, well, you know, once it's up, it'll be available.
We flip around, though. We're not in one place more than, like, 7 days.
No, I was just going to say, it will be on Amazon. I mean, you'll be able to download an ebook of it just like instantly.
Uh-huh.
So it will be, at least without having a physical copy there with you, at least that will be accessible
right.
for starters. And then.
Cool. Awesome. All right. So your question was about Shebag. And Shebag is the Aramaic word that has been translated by the Greeks as forgive. And the word actually translates more correctly as to cancel, to let loose, to untie. The result of canceling, letting loose, or untying yourself properly is that you get to remove what never belonged inside of you. So when Yeshua would say to somebody, you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother, what he was saying is, you must shebag, or you must cancel that which is in your own dissociated mind or heart, the energetic dynamics that you project into your brain's image of your brother. And so that word forgive is really about knowing what it is that causes your mind to use its own dissociated states to build its picture world of everybody else. And the key in the whole process is the goals that we hold. You know, there's some Harvard research that says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, the max amount of information that goes into conscious awareness is 9 bits, a very small fragment of what is actually going on inside of us, and an even smaller fragment of what's going on around us. So we have this 9-bit mind, this tiny fragment that we get to see, and something obviously has to tell the mind which 9 bits of data it's going to use to build the world that we see. The thing that tells the mind which data it's allowed to use is our goals. And so if I load a goal in my mind that resonates some form of hostility or fear, and I know what shebag means, I'm going to cancel that goal. And as I cancel that goal, I'm going to be able to access the dissociated or hidden part of my own mind and clean it out. That's what it means to forgive from my heart the wrongs of my brother, that which I put into my brain's image of someone else. And so to shebag is to cancel the goal that causes your mind to use your own internalized hostility or fear to build the world that it sees. When you do cancel the goal, that collapses the picture world that you see, and you get to go directly to the dissociated mind. And with step 4 in the worksheet, where you bring forward the active presence of love, as you bring that active presence of love into your own dissociated states, your own dissociated states start to dissolve and disappear, and the result is forgiveness.
Michael, let me ask you a really quick question. What do you think, when we get our unconscious, subconscious minds completely emptied out of all this old corrupt data, basically, and all there is love, what do you think will be? What do you think the subconscious will be used for? Because it seems like it's just sort of this container for a bunch of old junk info we don't really want to be running our lives from.
Well, it is a container, and that's all it is. It isn't a container for junk info or good info. It's just a container. Whatever we've put in it, if our generations have been busy filling it with rage and guilt and grief and pain and drama and trauma, then it seems like a junk container, but really it's just an advisor. It's just a device. You know, you've got a computer, and it's a container for all kinds of information. If you've got garbage in the computer, then it's going to seem like a container full of garbage. But if you've got really awesome, decent, usable information, words, thoughts, feelings, then it's going to be useful and support your life process. And so what we're looking to do is to support people who live with a container that is keyed to the true state of being or love that we are. And then the container is just a support system for bringing into the world, for expressing and experiencing in the world who we really are. And unfortunately, we're down to just a few seconds, so I'm going to have to close the show. But
awesome.
Maybe we can continue this conversation tomorrow if there's more to be talked about with it. And we appreciate everybody. Bring a stranger to the show on Monday, and have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.